is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, joined by Elizabeth Peake, a columnist at The Hill, at Fox News, much on Fox Business, to comment on contradictory headlines worldwide anticipating the COP26 conference in Glasgow in a few weeks' time, at the same time dealing with high prices at the gas pump, in natural gas, and if to understand the headlines in Europe, everywhere in the homes needing heat this winter. Liz, a very good evening to you. Bloomberg, always on top of the politics of the European Union, writes, Russia signals Europe won't get extra gas without Nord Stream 2. Subhead, Kremlin seeks swift approval for pipeline in return for gas. Gazprom preparing new pipeline for use, limiting other routes. The other routes include Ukraine, I'm told. However, this comes our way because this is a product of the Biden administration approving Nord Stream 2. Europe is now natural gas short. There are a lot of other shortages there, but natural gas for their factories, for their homes. The United Kingdom is in a panic mode because the wind stopped blowing at some time in August for weeks on end. This is a matter of worldwide concern. Is it coming our way? We know there's shortages in California because of their reliance on renewables. But as of yet, I haven't seen lines at the gas pump in Connecticut. Are we going to get to that? Good evening, Liz.
Good evening, John. Well, no one is forecasting shortages of oil and gas yet, but everyone is forecasting higher prices. And indeed, we're already seeing higher prices. Remember that oil and now increasingly natural gas are global products. Natural gas used to be local because it couldn't be transported across the ocean. But now, of course, with the advent of LNG and the fact that several years ago, thankfully, the American government decided to approve exports of petroleum products from the United States. Now we have LNG tankers circling the globe. And so natural gas now also has become a global product and priced accordingly. So what does this all mean? What we're seeing is indeed a global energy crisis. You mentioned that the natural gas prices are through the roof in the EU. They have actually increased 600% in a very short period of time. And indeed, the critical event that kicked this off was the doldrums. Remember that old-fashioned word? Ships being becalmed for no reason except the wind stops blowing. And in the UK, where they now have committed to getting a quarter, 25% of their electricity from wind power, when the wind stops blowing in the North Sea, they have a serious problem. They have to plug that hole with natural gas and, by the way, with coal. So here you have the EU writ large, the UK and the continent, so determined to drive down emissions that they invest billions of dollars in offshore wind towers and solar and other things too, that because they are desperate to appease their green lobbies, which are huge in Western Europe. And the result of it is you have these problems that occur. And by the way, this isn't the first time this has happened, where they have to actually start burning lignite to make up the difference in shortages of other petroleum products. It's almost comical, but when you look at what the United States has been able to achieve in terms of declining emissions over the past couple of decades compared to Europe, it is kind of amusing because they have taken it so much more seriously than we have. They put in enormous taxes, enormous carbon taxes, all the rest of that. We have not, and yet our substituting of coal by natural gas, because we have an inexhaustible supply of natural gas, has meant that our emissions have gone down. But the bottom line is this. Europe has a shortage of natural gas right now, and in that condition, it is ever more reliant on Russia. Is that a good thing for Western Europe? Clearly not. That is a very big problem for Western Europe, because Russia in the past has used its natural gas exports as a political weapon, primarily in Ukraine, shutting down pipelines to Ukraine in the middle of winter. So that is really a big problem for Europe. It's astounding to me that ex-Eastern European Angela Merkel decided that this is the way to go rather than develop Germany's own natural gas resources, which are limited but would at least have some impact, or more broadly diversify their sources of energy. It's a pretty interesting decision that she made on her way out of office. The other thing that has compounded a global energy crisis is that China got angry at Australia because Australia was trying to find out where COVID-19 came from, and they cut off coal imports from their largest single coal source, which was Australia. So then China ran short of coal and again went searching for other fuels to plug the gap, and they landed on, of course, natural gas. So because, as I mentioned, this is now a global product, natural gas prices everywhere have gone crazy. We have somewhat been spared by this because we are domestically self-sufficient in natural gas and also oil. 2 years ago, for the first time in 70 years, we became a net exporter of energy. Now, that has changed a little. President Biden is all in on the Green New Deal and in suppressing the amount of power we get from fossil fuels. So very discouragingly, he has gone on the attack against our oil and gas companies, take a slow walked oil and gas leasing on federal lands, which has already had an impact on production. Production is down, not entirely because of that, also because prices went down last year. But we are heading for giving up some of our tremendous geopolitical advantage and economic advantage that we get from our energy industries because this administration has so totally bought into renewable energy, just the kind of policies that have left Europe now in serious trouble.
There is a paradox. I read in the Wall Street Journal, most recently, the editorial page, that the Biden administration is asking the fracking business of northern plain states and of Texas and of Pennsylvania to participate in providing energy. I don't know that they're asking for the oil rigs to go back up again that were taken down during the low demand during the worst of the pandemic. But Liz, is fossil fuel now seen as a transition fuel? Is that how you come to recommending green innovation, but also ask the fossil fuel industry to help during the winter time?
Well, in a long-term sense, the fossil fuel industry will be a transition. It isn't going to be possible anytime in the near future. People don't understand how much of the world's energy still comes from fossil fuels. It's by far, I think it's 85%. It's probably actually a little bit more than that. We're not going to transition away from that anytime soon, partly because all the developed, underdeveloped countries, including many in Asia, Africa, and South America, are not even close to putting in kind of green energy architecture, and also because it's more expensive in many places, but also because because it doesn't even make any sense, because natural gas is a relatively clean fuel. We have an abundance of it. And so it's going to take a long time before we transition. But the big thing, John, as we found out with the wind, solar and wind are intermittent sources of energy. Obviously, you don't get solar power at night because there's no sun, and you don't get wind power when the wind stops blowing. And we do not yet have the technology to store electricity or power in such a way as to make it to overcome that problem. President Trump used to joke about how you can't watch television in the middle of night with solar power. You can only if it's stored in some kind of super duper battery and is made available to your power grid in that way. But right now, technologically, that is still just a huge challenge. So, you know, this isn't going to happen anytime soon. The fact that policymakers don't understand that and make reckless decisions, like in California, where the cost of electricity is 80% higher now than it is for the rest of the nation. Who does that hurt? It hurts all Americans, but in particular, it hurts low-income Americans. And so as Democrats chase these policies, you know, they're going to do some damage to the American consumer.
Liz Peek, of The Hill, a columnist, a Fox News columnist, and much on Fox Business. We've looked at the global shortage of fuel, energy, and we're an energy superpower like Russia. However, that isn't in uniformly true. As Liz said, they're closing the last of the nuclear energy plants in California, as we've closed Indian Point in New York. However, all of this comes down to what's in it for us. And when we come back, inflation, even that awful word stagflation, they're much discussed in the financial papers. Does that mean they're coming? They're here, or what is to be done? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.